coming up on AI Haven't a Clue.
We're chatting about the return of face-to-face interviews and whether we should let bots loose to scrape the web.
So they're declaring war on the AI industry. This is exactly the use of AI that we want and we need. This is a good case study. James is tackling this week's listener question all about AI-proof degrees.
We've got an exclusive interview with the UK's AI and Digital Government Minister.
And the AI challenge is back. But who will take the lead? Well, oh, I wonder where they are in the world.
Where
Why am I helping you?
Yes!
Hello, and welcome to AI Haven't a Clue. It's our podcast where we unpack AI one mystery at a time. My name is George Butler, a resident AI novice. And my co-host, let me introduce you, James, if you wouldn't mind, is our AI expert, James Chandler. James, how are you doing?
Fantastic. I'm all right. I feel rather underdressed with you today. You're all suited and booted. What's going on?
I know. Well, I've been replaced at work by a bot, so I am just doing interviews for...
11 episodes in, didn't I?
I've actually been in Parliament.
Oh.
Yeah, I've been in Parliament, which is a good segue, because today we have a big guest on the show. Mm. We've got the UK's AI and Digital Government Minister popping by, telling us all about the big new changes, the big new projects that the UK government are going to be bringing in the space of AI. It's exciting.
What a coup. World exclusive? I don't know if we can
make that. I'm not sure we can make that claim. I'm sure the minister has been chatting to other people. But the minister, I can promise you, hasn't spoken to anyone as unknowledgeable as me until now.
I've got visions of you. You know, you can get sort of movie stars over and they're doing...
Breast junkets.
Yeah. I've got visions of you doing that, being sort of shuffled into a room and getting your 5 minutes with the minister and then sort of like shuffled out and someone else comes in.
Having done a few of those breast junkets, I can tell you it was much more enjoyable. I wasn't ushered in,
really?
Given 4 minutes and then scolded by some American PR woman on this occasion. No, we got into things that the UK government are going to be implementing in the AI space. We're going to chat about that with the Minister Fergal Clark later on in the podcast. Mm,
what else have we got coming up today?
Well, we've got, of course, all the latest news from the world of AI, some interesting stories, including we're hearing all about how AI might be taking over a pub, maybe. We're going to be hearing about how face-to-face is making a comeback in the wake of AI taking over job applications. And also something that could be a bit of a game changer in the world of AI and the tech space.
Yeah.
Plus, are you ready for this week's listener question?
Yeah, and this sounds silly because I'm really liking the questions. They're not that hard. I
mean, Do you not think?
I'm not saying I want them hard.
Well, no, I've got a tough one for you today.
Okay, all right.
Careful what you wish for, because today's is a toughie. It's about the future, and we need some real expertise here.
Oh, God.
And I called around, and the two professors from last week are booked, and they're busy. You're the only person that was available, so I guess we'll have to suffice with James Chandler.
I'll have a go.
No PhD. Also, it's the return this week of... the AI challenge.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, well, you should be quite worried. I'm assuming you are.
I haven't really thought about it.
Oh, that's a lie. It's been rent-free in your head for the last 2 weeks. You've had sleepless nights.
Come on, don't want to go with it.
Polly, your wife, got in touch and said you've been tossing and turning. She said, please, let James win this week because he can't sleep and it's keeping me up and everyone's unhappy.
She'll love that.
So, we'll get back to the AI challenge at the end of this edition. James is desperately hoping he can stop the rot and make a comeback. But let's dive right in this week with the news from the world of AI. And we shall start with Cloudflare.
Mm.
James, before we get into anything, tell us what Cloudflare is.
I guess you could think of them a bit like the internet security guard and sort of like a traffic controller. So they keep sites safe from attacks and they make sure that they're loading as they should be and they operate all around the world.
Cloudflare are like the defense of the internet.
Yeah.
And they've just announced something pretty big in the AI space.
Yeah, so they're saying that effectively AI companies use web crawlers to go and scrape internet content, which helps train their models. That's how they operate. Cloudflare are suggesting that they won't allow these AI companies to scrape content. They won't be able to access the sites in order to do it unless they pay for the privilege. That's what they're suggesting. I mean, it's a pretty big deal. So there's lots of companies that do this, but Cloudflare in particular, they power about 20% of all the traffic on the internet. So it's,
so they're declaring war on the AI industry.
Their brief is opening up. They're becoming this sort of copyright enforcer, and they want to give content creators a choice. And when we say content creators, of course, we could mean any type of content. Could be publishers, it could be news brands, it could be anything like that. So the choice really is let the AI systems train on your content and get paid, or you can just say no. So this is a huge debate that's going on in the industry at the moment. And it's really about how should these AI companies fairly access and use all of this content that powers their models, but make sure the people that have created the content, because of course AI doesn't create content in the same way that editorial does, how do they make sure that those content creators get compensated for it? Otherwise, one side's winning and one side's losing massively.
Obviously, this has been a hot topic in the broader scheme of things in terms of, you know, music artists, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
We talked about Elton John. He's kind of got a similar point here. Mm. But is there a thing now where the genie's out of the lamp and it's like, how we, is that a phrase? The genie's out of the lamp?
Yeah, toothpaste out of the tube, genie's out of the lamp.
So is that, I'm going to use toothpaste out of a tube. Is the toothpaste out of the tube and can we get it back in if so?
Well, like I said, Cloudflare, they're not sort of policing the whole internet. They're a private company. I think it's a little bit problematic in the sense that, you know, the whole premise of the internet is that it's open. We shouldn't have one private company deciding how information can flow and how people should get paid. For me, that would be the role of government or the role of a regulator. So I think it's interesting what they're saying. The other point is that if, let's say, all of the sort of the premium high quality, if every news brand in the world said, I'm not going to let AI scrape my content, you would have AIs coming up with spurious hallucinations all the time. I mean, the stuff just wouldn't be very good. So it's like, because they wouldn't have anything to train it. So it would go on sort of low quality sources or kind of nothing at all. And I think that's sort of deeply problematic.
And is there enough money in the AI sector yet for these AI businesses to actually be paying for this sort of stuff? Because we're still quite early days of this AI boom.
Yeah, I mean, potentially there is, yeah. The sort of the exam question in all of this is how do we make sure that those companies can access that content in a really free and open way, in the way that the internet was designed to be? But how can we make sure that people that are creating it can be compensated? The sort of one to watch on this as well. So IAB Tech Lab, they're like the techie arm of the business that I work for, the IAB. They're trying to build a new framework that's going to help the content creators control how AI models can crawl and use their content. And without getting very technical and going down the rabbit hole with it, there's a whole load of things they're thinking about. It could be a pay-per-query. It could be a kind of a license fee. But they're trying to get all of these people in a room to explore how something can work. Because at the moment, we don't really want private companies coming on and saying, oh, we're going to stop this and do this. It sort of needs everyone to come around the table like grown-ups and figure out how we crack this one.
Right, face-to-face is making a comeback. I think this is good news. So we've been talking about ChatGPT recently and how everyone just seems to kind of be turning to it to just do everything and anything. And James, that includes job applications, it seems.
Yeah, and employers are starting to push back. According to the Bright Network, half of grads are now using AI when they submit applications. And that's up from just 38% of grads last year. There's a graduate teaching scheme called Teach First. Mm. They're seeing this effect firsthand. So applications are up nearly 30%, and recruiters actually are getting very good at spotting some of those telltale signs of AI use that we've talked about. Things like the Oxford comma, rocket emoji, all this sort of stuff. I doubt there's many rocket emojis going into CVs. But I mean, this is when candidates are kind of copying and pasting responses wholesale. I mean, there's no nuance in this at all. It's sort of quite lazy stuff. So recruiters are basically getting rid of written assessments and they're saying, right, let's sit you down in front of me, face to face, where you don't have the fallback and the safety net of AI, and they want to see the real person behind the AI, as it were.
I mean, it's good. I don't really understand how they're going to evade that first layer because you can't have hundreds of people come in face-to-face, can you, for that first round? Surely they are relying on people writing things. Is there not technology that can basically sift through and detect if something's been done by an AI bot.
Yeah, I think it's probably the same. We talked about it maybe in the very first episode about homework. We had that question, didn't we? And yeah, you can reverse the AI to try and spot the AI stuff. So yeah, you could have a kind of a filter there. But you know, you've probably seen the videos as well of people that are having Zoom type interviews where they're using an AI to listen to the question, and then in real time on like a second screen, it's come out with the answer and the candidate's just reading the answer. And the recruiter's going, well, I mean, it sort of sounds incredible that you know this stuff. You can sort of reel off code and do all these things. So it's, you know, people sort of using the technology in an interesting way. Maybe the face-to-face thing gets around it. It does feel like another, oh, let's just do it the way we've always done it, because we can't actually figure out how to work with the technology.
Is there not an argument that actually if someone knows how to use AI really, really well, well, that's a good thing in what's going to come over the next few years.
Yeah, that for me is the, it's all about this kind of AI fluency. You know, if you can learn how to use AI better than someone else, you know, should you necessarily be punished or be at a disadvantage for that? I mean, it's not this kind of arms race, and maybe it's not wholly sustainable, but I think you have to think about what the exam question is here. And I'm not sure the answer is just kind of reverting back and trying to do these sort of in-person things. I mean, imagine having to do 100 in-person interviews, the logistics of trying to organize that, etc. You know, people that might not be able to get to a physical place, for example, you'd be just sort of discounting anything. We sort of haven't thought about that. We haven't thought about disability. We haven't thought about accessibility. So yeah, not sure on this. Interesting story, and definitely the numbers are an interesting take, and the trend is staggering. 38% up to half. Amazing.
And I mean, ultimately as well, the majority of jobs, they might have a first round where there's not in person. You're going to, surely most people are having to have a face-to-face interview before they're being hired anyway. So it's kind of half there already.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see. This one might be one to keep an eye on.
Right, next up, James. Right now, there is so much going on in the world of AI. We can't escape it. Every time we open a website or a newspaper or a podcast, you're hearing about AI, AI, AI. And you know what? Sometimes people just want to go, I don't want to hear about any of this rubbish. I'm going to the pub. I'm going to have a pint, chill out, not have to listen to any of this AI nonsense in the news agenda. But it turns out they can't.
This is a story in the Daily Star.
Oh, it's very reliable then. It's got to be true.
They're saying new AI technology is being trialled to take over back office duties in pubs. So things like staff rosters, stock ordering, promotions, stuff like that. The idea being that it frees landlords up to focus on, they're talking about the customer experience. But that's sort of front of house hospitality. It's the sort of like classic, you know, Rover's return, landlord comes out, you know, talking to everyone, that sort of stuff. So we've seen this application in other things. We've talked about it lots in kind of office life on how it can do, you know, timesheets, all that sort of stuff to free people up to do more creative things, more strategic things, perhaps. But yeah, the Star saw, interestingly, the headline was Last Orders for Humans as Pubs of the Future will be run by AI bots, say boffins.
Metal cubes just being stuck in the fridges.
Yes.
Throwback to last week. It's interesting because surely this is the exact thing that AI can help people with. Stock management, for example. Reordering when things are running out. This is exactly the use of AI that we want and we need. This is a good case study.
I think it is. And I doubt many landlords get into buying a pub to do all of that stuff. They won't do the other things. There is a kind of reality here. And, you know, aside from all the hype, you know, pubs are closing at a rate of one a day due to everything that's kind of gone on post-COVID. There's less commuters. There's rising costs they're trying to deal with. So AI isn't going to be a silver bullet for how more pubs survive. But I do think it's interesting if you can free people up on all that kind of backroom stuff to do, you know, more front of house, more proper landlording, I would say.
Also efficiencies. If you can more accurately predict the stock that you need to order, if you can reduce wastage, perhaps even, you know, save expenditure on certain roles, this is going to help pubs survive. It's a bit like a few months ago when we talked about AI and teachers using it to help them mark and maybe even plan lessons. This is going to be a good thing for helping, I think, pubs reduce costs and stay alive.
Have you been to, we went to Centre Parks not long ago, and we had our food delivered by this little robot.
Creepy, that's
who
creepy.
Comes along and it brings your food. Imagine that's happening in your local boozy.
I'm not encouraging that. Let me be very clear. For the humans still pouring the pints and whatnot.
I mean, pouring a pint must be the easiest thing in the world, you know, especially Guinness. That's sort of quite technical.
You get it in some stadiums now, don't they, where basically the, like, a machine does the pouring for
you. Well, there you go. Yeah, the sort of quintessential landlord thing, pouring a pint.
Now, I'm all for the efficiencies of AI helping pubs stay open, but let's not, for goodness sakes, lose the human nature that people love.
Get them out the front. Why not?
Time now for the latest AI question. This is where our wonderful listeners put you, James, to the test, offering difficult questions. You threw out a gauntlet earlier. You said the questions haven't been that hard. They've been pretty easy. Well, we'll see. A, if anyone's listening right now, if you have a question, if it's really difficult, if you've been thinking, I don't think I can answer that, it's too hard. Well, James says he can. So do ask us your questions. If you would like to get in touch, email us ai@gmail.com or simply just leave a comment on any of our social media videos. We'll see it. We'll get it in the podcast. This week's question has been sent in from listener Sophie, who asks, AI seems to be taking a lot of the entry-level jobs. Which AI-proof degrees should we be looking to study at university?
Oh, goodness.
Good question.
Yeah, that's a good question, isn't it? AI-proof degrees. Maybe it's this idea of, you know, more and more graduate jobs. I remember reading something over the weekend, you know, more and more of the stuff that graduates do, typically when they go into business, is now being done by AI, that grunt work, I think.
The admin level, entry-level roles. That.
So I think if you were picking a degree now, I would say maybe don't avoid AI. Maybe you have to sort of think about complementing it. So you might think about... you know, human skills, things that AI can't do. Could be medicine, nursing, could be teaching. I think anything where trust, empathy, those kind of innate human skills, or, you know, physical presence are really going to matter. A doctor or a nurse, you know, giving someone some bad news, or, you know, a teacher having to deal with a really difficult child incident or something like that. You know, AI is not going to be particularly good at. So I think human skills, I still think probably something that's creative, arts, storytelling, things that, you know, require a kind of a human voice or real originality. I don't think AI is going to do all of that stuff. It can mimic, but I don't know if it can invent like that. And then maybe the last one to think about would be trades. So maybe you...
Plumbing.
Maybe you skip the degree altogether and you get into plumbers, electricians.
Forget marketing, forget all that media. Yeah. Plumbers, that's job security. You ain't getting bots going around at 3 a.m. to Maureen's house because her bath's leaking.
I just think anything that's kind of hands-on, grounded in the real world, you know, show me an LLM that's not going to fix your Maureen's leaky boiler, you know. So... I think maybe on some of the STEM stuff as well, you know, you could think about, you know, computer science, cybersecurity. We've talked a lot about ethics, you know, go deep on those things around AI. So I think, don't know if there's an AI-proof degree out there.
Well, let's flip it, James. What about, are there any degrees that you would say, I wouldn't bother because AI is coming and it's like, you're at risk if you dive into that specific thing?
It's tricky, isn't it? Because I think people are going to come for me, but I can't help but think history seems like a tough one. I mean, AI can ingest basically anything that's ever been written down about sort of history. The idea that you would need to remember dates and facts and apply it in that way would be tough.
What about linguistics?
Well, we've talked about it, haven't we? I mean, you know, Google Meet can now do kind of real-time chat in Spanish, German, French, Welsh, you know, whatever it needs.
I upset my family the other day. What's new? But I said, and I'm turning into you, James, because I said, I think in you know, maybe a decade's time, they're not going to be teaching mandatory languages in schools. No. As in, quite often now, you're going to school and it's like, right, you've got to learn French or Spanish up until you do your GCSEs. I don't know if that's going to be needed, if that's going to be necessary. It's going to become more of a niche skill, right?
Yeah. Remember we did IB Engage and we showed that big chart, that sort of future of work chart. The bottom left is the stuff that you don't need to worry about. And in there were, I don't know how they took it, linguistics something, but basically learning languages. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff in there. You think about that work as a grad in any business where you go into, you are doing that sort of bottom of the rung stuff. It's just what people have kind of done. But if AI can do that quicker, in a sort of more efficient, better way, there's just going to be need for it. So I think you have to sort of really rethink how you think about graduates, if you're a business, I think if you're someone who's thinking about how you go into business, again, I think it comes back to this AI fluency. You've got to be totally fluent in it. You've got to work out how you're going to use it. You've got to think about courses. A friend of mine, she's worked in for the same company for a long time, went and worked for another company. She's now set up on her own. The first thing she's gone is gone and done a course on AI. Like, what? Just a really, really smart thing to do. And I think the more you can know about it versus the next person who might be going for the same job is only going to be a benefit.
So James's answer is the AI proof degrees are the ones on AI.
AI in its title. Universities, of course, have to make money here as well. And I remember there being degrees on things like, you know, David Beckham and, you know, all of these sort of weird and wonderful degrees.
I got T1 in him.
BA ons in David Beckham. Fantastic.
BSc it was.
I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing lots and lots of kind of AI type degrees popping up as well.
Brilliant stuff, James. Thank you for that. If you do have a question for James, make it tough, please. He wants them hard. Get in touch with us. Email aihaven'taclue@gmail.com. James, we've been loving your top tips all about AI. Anything for us this week?
I was at an event where it was a lovely icebreaker. They asked the room to write down the best thing they'd done with AI. And there were some lovely things in there. There was someone who said they used it to get money back on delayed flights. Someone used it to work out how tall their son would be when they grow up. Roast my CV is a nice one. So you can upload your CV and say, literally go to town. What's wrong with this thing? Someone was doing designs for their dog show, designing a pizza oven station for their kids' climbing frame. They planned a solo trip to Lisbon. Oh, this is brilliant. So Google's Notebook LM, a name I know you'll love because you've got a thing about names. It's got this ability. You could drop loads and loads of content in, and it's got a button where you can ask it to produce a short podcast with two voices. And they basically take all of the information, they turn into like a 10-minute podcast that you can listen to.
So enjoy.
It's incredible.
I've got a good one for you.
You've been at it as well.
Well, I'm not going to name a name. I was speaking to someone today, actually, who operates a small radio station in the south of the UK. All the hosts are AI voices.
Are they really?
He writes the scripts, the voice clone does it, puts out on the radio. But here's the interesting thing. It's not publicised widely. Mm. And I will add, it's a small station, so it's not like there's millions of listeners being conned by this. Mm. But it's in very small print on the website, and the voices exist on this station, and most of the listeners don't have a clue.
Wow. Bleak, the dystopian look into season two of this podcast.
You know what? I don't buy it, though. This is the thing. I get it as a cool experiment, but there's two things here. Firstly, someone is writing all the links for it, which is like, you know, that's taking as much time as presenting it. I also do genuinely believe that it probably would work for certain types of radio content.
Like a phone-in show. It's going to be
You're not going to have any heart anymore, any comedy. And the reasons people turn into radio are all of that. It's companionship. It's not just, next up, we've got a song from Adele.
Yeah.
That's not what people are tuning in for. So I get it as an experiment. It's interesting that it's happening. I don't think it's the future of radio. Okay, time now for an exclusive. This is big. Mm. The UK government has just dropped a whole load of projects, initiatives and plans to do with AI. And we've only gone and booked the AI and Digital Government Minister to join us on this podcast.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a real scoop.
It's a big scoop. Now, James was unfortunately NFI'd to doing this interview.
Don't get
the minister said, I'll do it, but just with George, no James. I want the easy questions. I want the guy that knows his stuff.
Softball.
Sadly for the minister, James briefed me very well before going in to chat to Fergal Clark all about the big new projects, initiatives and plans the UK government have in the AI space. Minister, thank you so much for joining us on AI Haven't a Clue off the back of some really major new announcements from the government in the AI space. And this podcast is all about exploring AI, breaking down stigma. And I think sometimes the general public perception of AI can be that it's something to fear or something of concern. How do we change that perception and boost the UK's AI fluency?
Thank you so much for having me, George. But look, no, I agree. I think for too long in this country, we spent far too long talking about, like, you know, the fears around AI. You know, whilst I think safety is incredibly important when you're using AI, and it's really, really important to us as a government, it has to be embedded as part of it. It's not like after, it's not separate. So I think what we need to do is basically to show the, you know, our citizens, our residents, how AI is being used to benefit them and benefit their lives. And because I go around, George, and I see all these examples of how AI is being used, and it's absolutely amazing, you know, from like in NHS where it's being used for like scanning lung scans and to predict, you know, to be able to see some of the things that human eye can't see, so early indications of cancer, to like how it's being used in our schools to develop lesson plans for our children. And my favourite one was when I went to see how AI is being used in a vineyard to predict when the right time to pick the grapes are.
That definitely does seem like a very good use of AI. But we cover, like you've just touched on, brilliant examples of how AI is having a positive impact on our society. But there is still that fear there. There is still that uncertainty. What can we do to eradicate that and to make people excited about AI rather than fearing it?
I think what I would say, so when I look at my everyday use of my phone, or like the tools I use on, you know, the apps I use on my phone, so we use it without I use it without even thinking about like the potential of AI behind. Even when you Google, it gives you the AI version of it. I think that's, people use it, but when, you know, but when the government's using it, when it's your data, when it's a bigger scale, people don't, you know, they don't often see how it's being used, the impacts of it. So we do need to we need to make sure that there is that transparency, that people see that where their government is using AI, that we are transparent about how it's used, that we do, there is that level of accountability, so we can build trust in the use of AI. And to do that, to make sure that people can see, you know, that we come across as transparent, we have implemented the policy across government for, so all this is called algorithmic transparency standards. So any algorithm, any department, any service across government that uses an algorithm or AI to make a decision about you, we publish that on government website, so you can see where it's being used. And I think that level of transparency makes a difference. But not everyone goes on the website. Not everyone, you know, if you're that way inclined, you may do. So what I want to do, I'm looking at basically going on a roadshow, working with local councils up and down the country to have those conversations in our communities, working with the civil society to have those conversations about, you know, where the government is using AI and how we're putting AI into use for their benefit, and then give them the opportunity to raise the questions and the concerns they have.
I mean, I think it's really valuable, isn't it, that we talk about this this topic of AI, and I think the more we educate people, the more people will understand it's exciting, as well as obviously worrying in some ways. But the government has laid out an ambition to be an AI maker. Can you tell me what that means?
Yeah, so George, as you probably know, UK is globally like the third best country on AI, just after US and China. Yeah. And AI is impacting it's a general purpose technology, and it will impact every part of our life. It's a revolution that's happening. And we need to make sure that we have the infrastructure, that we're building the infrastructure that supports development of AI, and that we have the policies, the right policies, the right investment in place to grow local AI, to make sure that we're supporting the startups that are coming out of our universities, the UK businesses, so that we are developing AI with British values at its heart. So we want to make sure that we are designing and developing AI that is designed for our needs and that is developed and designed in this country. So we want to not just buy off the shelf things, but we want to support our economy. We want it to generate jobs. We want it to regenerate areas. We want to make sure that we are harnessing every bit of AI in every possible way.
And I think it's so important because we don't want to be reliant on, for example, big American tech giants. We want the power to be in our own hands. But on the flip side, when you've got, for example, Mark Zuckerberg coming out just the other day saying Meta is going to build a data center the size of Manhattan, that's their level of investment. How do we catch up with China and America and make sure that our AI offering is as good as the competition out there?
So on the big American companies, they'll say, look, you know, they are, we've got most of, you know, we've got almost all of the amazing American companies headquartered in UK, and we have amazing deals with them. They are supporting job creation and backing innovation in this country. So absolutely welcome to them to come and like invest in jobs and stuff in this country. So bring it on. We were happy to have them. But in terms of the level of investment, look, we have some of the best institutions across the world. We have some of the best minds coming out of our university. Mm. So innovation and entrepreneurship is great across UK, and we are, and that's why it's part of. But to support innovation, to support the aspirations that we have in this area, we've committed £2 billion just to the AI research resource. So we want to support that, and that will support the public sector and the research academia who are doing research in this area. But on top of that, George, we announced that we were going to set up AI growth zones to make sure that we have that infrastructure to support the level of aspiration we have, and we will be. We'll have one of the growth zones in Scotland. We've already announced one in Culham. But with the compute power that we're investing in for research and for the research resource, with the AI growth zones, I think it will ensure that we are competitive against our colleagues across the globe. So we are, in terms of investment into infrastructure, we're absolutely doing that. We've got some really ambitious programs. We're also looking at working with our colleagues across Europe as well.
I would love to ask you, Minister, about creativity and creators, because AI is changing, and we're hearing this every week on the podcast, it's changing the creativity and media landscape. It's putting power in different people's hands. And a lot of creators are unhappy. They think they've got a lack of protection. Is it important that the likes of Elton John and Dua Lipa are protected from changes that AI will usher in?
We have copyright laws in this country to protect people's valuable creation. And we want to make sure, and we have one of the best, or the best creative sectors in the world. And we value that. Mm. And we know that, I meet so many companies who are already using AI in their, in their work across the creative sector. So it's not, either. And we have, as I said, we have one of the most, bustling, one of the best AI sectors as well. So this isn't a zero sum game. But what we do need to do is to make sure that there is that the creative sector, creators do get remuneration. They have the opportunity to protect their work.
How's that done? How do we protect them?
Well, the problem is that, so at the moment you have the copyright law, but you know, seeing from the all the legal challenges and the court cases that are happening at the moment, there are challenges and there are issues. So we could sit on our hands and just go, well, there's the law, and you know, that's your right. You can go through lawyers, and I want to make sure startups, our AI sector, has good quality data that they can train their models on. Whether you're you're developing a scientific tool, or whether you're looking at developing a tool for artistic use, that you have good data to train your models on, and to have good have access to that data, you should make sure that it's done fairly, it's done transparently, and it's done with permission, and it's done with, you know, where the creatives are remunerated for that work. And that's why we are working, that's where we've consulted, and we're going through the consultation at the moment. We want to work with both the sectors to make sure we get to a place where we are able to support our AI sector to grow, but ensure the creatives have rights over their work that they can enforce.
I think it's a really interesting time in with the era of AI is ushering in, and it's very hard to keep up with everything that's going on. Businesses are trying to implement it where they can and get to grips of what it can do. We've obviously seen unemployment rates, they've risen, that the data's come out over the last few days. Do we think AI has played a role in that? Obviously, there's efficiencies that it's making to jobs. And as a government, how do we look at that going forward? How do we ensure that AI is going to boost the economy, but also not just wipe out a load of jobs?
So where we're looking at the moment, I think the potential for AI is where it's, you know, people are using it for augmentation. So when I told you about local authorities using AI, where you've got social workers who are using AI for transcripting their meetings, it means they're not sitting around like 4 hours a week typing those notes and taking actions. It means that, you know, they're able to use AI for that part of their work and then spend more time with the people they need to. So I think it isn't always in every case about replacing person. It is about being able to, it's augmentation. And it's also making, you know, some of those boring parts of your job, you know, some of the repetitive parts of your job being done by AI, so we can have the personable parts being done by human beings. And that is the case across so many sectors, whether it's NHS, where's radiographers are using AI to get through so many more scans that they're able to spend time on some of the most complex cases. And at the moment, with the state of our public services, Jules, we need a lot of supporters, and we need to make sure that we are utilising every tool we can to make sure that we're able to bring, you know, NHS to a place where it's functioning properly again. Because you know, we've had 7 million people waiting on the waiting list for operations. So there are huge opportunities for AI in that sense. But we also recognise that with any technological revolution like this, when you think back to it, there are so many jobs like 40, 50, 60 years ago that don't exist anymore. And there will be jobs that will be created as a result of AI that I can't even think, I don't even know the name of yet. So it's got huge opportunities. And it's not that we as a government are just sitting there, you know, not doing anything. We are looking, we are doing a piece of work on the labour market to look at all the areas where, you know, AI will be used, and to get a better understanding of how AI will impact our society and workforce. And we're working with like civil society, academia and researchers and the private sector just to get it. So that work is happening. So we want to get a better understanding. But the uses at the moment, I will say, it's supportive, it's efficiency, it's effective. So it's quite exciting.
Definitely. And we've talked about it on the podcast before. There are brilliant examples of how, for example, AI is being now teachers are now allowed to use AI in schools, and it's allowing them to free up time to teach kids more. And you know, AI can do the marking for them. It's a good thing. And it's needed to help our public services. Completely agree. Minister, before you go, I would love to ask you, we've talked about this on the podcast before, so I'd be really intrigued to ask you. When do you think the UK if or when do you think the UK will have its first ever number one music single written and performed by AI?
Oh, God. You see, I don't know. Sorry, George.
That's I mean, my co-host thinks it's going to happen in the next 2 years. We've spoken to someone who's come on, an AI influencer, who thinks it's going to happen within a year. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think the public are going to want a completely AI-generated and performed music artist in their lives that much.
That's an interesting one. I've never thought, that would be... an avatar-type thing singing with a... No, not me. Sorry, George.
I'm with you. I'm completely not with me. You. There's a band called Velvet Sundown. They're doing very well on Spotify. For me, no thanks. I'm with you, Minister. I think let's stick to the real humans creating our music.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely with you on that one.
Thank you so much for your time, Minister. And it's really exciting to hear what the government is doing in this AI space.
I thought you did all right, actually.
Did you think?
I was sort of prepared to give a fairly robust critique, but yeah, fair play. I thought you did quite well.
I read the questions very well. They were written for me by more intelligent people.
We had a listener question a couple of episodes ago, which was talking about, you know, how can we make sure that AI thrives, and part of it is not making it a London thing. Mm. So I think the more that it can exist in different parts of the UK, the better. There's job creation there. There's lots and lots of stuff there. But massive own goal if we just sort of keep it locked up in London.
And what do we think, James? Are government initiatives and plans going to be game-changing for the UK's AI space, or in the grand scheme of things, does it not really make much difference?
I really think it will push it forward. I think it's great that there's a sense of priority here, because I think every single business, school, institution in the UK will be thinking about how they're going to use and put in place AI. The government is no different. I'd said before, actually, I think one of the best things the government could do is sort of treat itself as its own customer. So things like the NHS, I think, could be completely revolutionised by the power of AI. There'll be other bits and pieces as well. So yeah, I don't see a downside here at all. I think it's a great announcement, and it's sort of good for brand UK as well on the kind of world stage and how seriously we're taking this stuff.
And a big thanks to the Minister for stopping by the podcast to talk to us. You know, the fact I think that this show is about taking AI to people that maybe don't know loads about it. And it's a really nice sign that the UK government wants to kind of take this topic to the masses, to the nation. So, massive thanks to the Minister for stopping by the show. Okay, James, time now for something that I hear is keeping you up at night. Yeah, the AI challenge. I'm obviously talking about, just remind everybody, you went 4-0 in
the year.
You went 4-0 up. 4-0 up. I remember 4-0 up. What happened to your lead?
It was...
Oh, yeah, you collapsed like a cheap deck chair.
It was crash and burn.
It's now 4-4, and I know that you are so worried, because we're back with today's AI challenge, where we are trying to, as always, differentiate between the real and the human and the AI. And you know, I could see it in your eyes, you know that if you lose today, it's total embarrassment. The expert will be going down to the apprentice. The apprentice will become the master.
Organ grinder, monkeys, it's all happening. I'm not, this isn't nerves, by the way, this is...
You can barely talk.
Nervous,
this
excitement.
This is the quietest you've ever been. Oh my word, he's shaking, you should see it. What have you done to Molly, producer Molly? What have you done to her?
Well, it wasn't really going in my favour, so just...
Yeah, she's...
She's gone.
Hmm. Oh, poor Molly.
Yeah, she was good, but...
Listen, all the work that you did on the podcast thing. No, Molly's not here this week, but our other amazing producer, David, is. And David, can I just, before we get into today's AI challenge, can I confirm James has neither offered you money or threatened your life in order to sway today's competition?
No money has gone into my account yet, but did you get my last text?
Just... Let's crack on.
I'm going to make you an offer you can refuse. David, hello, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Very good. I'll be even better if I go 5-4 up. Can you tell us today's AI challenge, please?
Of course. Have you heard of Alan Turing?
Yes.
I think so. Yep.
Good. So he once said that if a machine could fool a human 70% of the time in a 5-minute conversation, it would be considered intelligent.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm going to be doing today is I'm going to be testing you where you're going to be having a conversation in 2 minutes online, and it's either going to be with a human or with a robot or a bot.
Pretty straightforward.
Wow.
Yeah. Are you okay?
I think this sounds amazing.
Yeah, you're okay. Okay.
So this is it's online.
It's online. Anyone can do it. Yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring you into a chat room, an online chat room, and you're going to be either speaking to an AI bot,
right,
or a human. There's no telling.
That's good. That's very good.
Who you're talking to, it's all dependent on what you ask it, and at the end, it will reveal what it is.
And if it's a human, is it going to try and trick us into thinking it's a bot?
Good question.
I mean, if I was on a chat room that was human or bot...
Oh, so they know they know the context. Yeah,
I personally would be trying to trick you.
Okay, this is great. I love this. All right, James.
You are going to go first, my friend.
I was about to ask you. Okay, fine. Yeah. I can see the nerves. I can feel it. It's palpable in the studio. So I'm happy to. You know what? Bring it on. I'll go first. Let's do this.
Fill ye boots.
Let's do it.
Okay, here we go.
All right, my time has started. B or G? Hi, how are you?
Polite.
G-Y. Okay, that's my first question. I just thought, I'd start with some polite manners. Yeah. Let's see if it's a human. B or G is a random way for this thing to start the conversation, isn't it?
I think it's thrown you.
It's getting in my head. I had a toxic relationship. I broke up with my girlfriend.
Boyfriend or girlfriend?
Okay. Sorry to hear that. What was their name and why did it end? This is taking a turn I didn't expect. I become a therapist.
Slow typer, eh?
This is taking a minute out of my my time.
Big, profound questions.
B or G, I'm still thrown by that random initial question.
Would it have thrown me? Hard to say. Probably not.
Her name was Amelia. The gold digger, she would steal my money and buy expensive cars, and I'm almost on debt right now. I'm going to ask it. Sorry to hear that. Can you cheer me up? I'm just going to ask, what is your favourite Coldplay song? I want to know. I hope it gets back to me within the allotted time. Let's see what the user replies. It's got 7 seconds to reply. Oh, okay. It's come back straight away. Scientists. I'm going to end the conversation there.
Okay.
The scientist.
So, can I tell you what I'm thinking, James? Mm.
Can I quickly interject?
Yeah.
I love how you went from trying to talk it through its relationship struggles to what is your favourite Coldplay song?
So, world's biggest band, firstly, let me explain that question, right? We're talking numbers, world's biggest band. I'm thinking, right, I've gone through this whole random thing about, like, it's therapist. It's tried to throw me with B or G. It's told me this thing about its relationship. Now, my thinking is, I ask this question. If you ask a human this question after they've been telling me about their gold digging ex, right?
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, red flag. They're gold digging. They're not doing a very good job because this person's being paid to be typing to me. Secondly, if you go from that to asking what's your favourite Coldplay song and within seconds you reply the scientist, if I was human I'd be like, why are you asking me a Coldplay song? So I'm going to look in based off that. I think it's just AI trying to mess with my mind. I think the answer is AI. I was chatting to AI.
Do you want to lock that in?
I'm locking that in. Ba-dum.
Lock and key.
Okay, what do you think B or G meant?
Absolutely no clue.
See, I think boy or girl.
Oh, yeah, of course, that's what it is.
Oh, it's asking you.
Are you a boy or a girl?
Oh, and I said
girl?
I was a girl. Because I replied G.
Gold digger. Maybe G was gold digger.
Yeah, you said, hi, how are you?
I didn't understand that. I've not been enough internet chat rooms.
Many moons ago when I was younger and was on MSN Messenger.
Well, last 18 months ago, yeah.
Yep. So whenever you used to go into a new chat and you'd end up like being in a chat with some random people, everyone always used to start off with a conversation with ASL, which is age, sex and location. And that's when you'd say, you know,
okay, interesting.
17.
Yeah, so B or G.
And in London. And it's just a nice opener for a conversation.
Makes much more sense.
Yeah.
I don't know what I think.
AI.
What do you think?
Locked in AI.
I'm locked in AI. Just for interest, James, what would you have gone with?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Coldplay thing has legs. It was a bit, yeah, it was. I think a human would have questioned it. Also, out the blocks with something kind of weird. Yeah, I think I would have said AI.
Yeah. Right, so I'm looking in the answer AI. Before we find out...
I'm just doing my diaphragmatic breathing, just ready for... I've just got a new prep.
James is so worried, it's hilarious. Like, before we find out if that's the right answer, James is going to have his go, lock his answer in. We'll make it all dramatic. We'll keep you waiting. Good luck, James. I hope yours was as weird as mine.
Just loading up. Detecting who starts the conversation. Could be human, could be a robot.
It could be either. That's the game, James.
Could be...
What's your opening question going to be?
You've thrown me with Coldplay now. Hi! Oh, hey!
Okay, right.
Hey! ! That's good.
All right, you're throwing it back to them then.
Just politeness. How are you? What's the time?
Oh, we know AI can't tell time that well. Okay. That's clever.
Let's go. And I, 7:26 is what I'm looking for. Come on. 9:26. Why?
Oh, I wonder where they are. Where are they in the world? Where they are in the world. Oh, my goodness. Why am I helping you?
Yes! In the world. 2 hours ahead, so that could be...
Europe.
Germany. Yes, Italy.
Is it Greece, maybe?
Could be. Where are you in the world? Come on.
Oh, wow.
Still got a minute as well. This is maybe the easiest task. Ooh. The easiest challenge we've had today. Come on. Hungry. You.
Oh!
You. I think it's human. I can still go further. Okay. Hungry you.
No, I'm full.
Londonium. Yes.
What's your next question going to be?
Just put London. I'm just chatting. I'm just making a friend here. Oh, yes, this is good. Hungary is bang on. Central European time. Just picked the lock. Just gone in. Just after a few duff weeks. That's cool. Always want to visit. You're welcome anytime.
This is amazing. I'm loving this game.
And I've made a friend for life. 15 seconds. That's cool. Always wanted to visit. It actually sounds like a human.
It does, doesn't it?
It doesn't sound at all like AI. You're welcome anytime. ? What?
What?
Laters. With a Z.
Is that it? You're up. Okay. Wow. That was fun. So what do we reckon, James? Is it human or AI there?
Categorically, that is a human.
I'm with you. It was the high. In the high. I think the high.
It's the 2 hours ahead.
The only thing I'd throw to you, James, is surely AI is clever enough to know that...
That's the slight
niggling.
AI is
clever enough to know that in Hungary the time's 7:28.
The elaborate thing. That would be this kind of trap it would set up.
Mm.
I'm pretty convinced. I'm going to lock in human.
I would do the same. I'm backing... I think that would also be human. Right.
You think human?
Yeah.
Interestingly, the time in Hungary at the moment is
8:24. Oh! Wow! Right, let's start with James then, David. Can you reveal, was James talking to an AI bot or a human being?
James, you were talking to a human.
Oh, yes. An idiot then, wasn't it?
Yes.
A bloody moronic human. Can't tell the time.
Beautiful moronic human. Thank you.
Now, George.
Yeah.
Here we go.
You locked in bot?
I hope so, yeah.
You were talking to a human.
Yes! 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 Woohoo! Oh, yes! He's back!
The person I was speaking to needs help.
Back!
That was bizarre. What a weird conversation. What a freak.
Oh, goodness me.
Bizarre. That was I'm quite freaked out that was a human being.
Pressure is for tyres, my friend. Pressure. Does funny things to people, doesn't it, pressure?
You know what? I will just add for the record. Can I just add for the record? James agreed with me that I spoke to an AI. I agree with James that he was speaking to. Technically, we went in with the same answers.
Nonsense.
He's got a bit lucky there.
Dave, cracking one this week. You've got this gig full time if you want it. That is absolutely spot on.
Don't worry, Mal. It's all yours.
Spot. I'd love
that. But I will take that. Fiver.
Yeah, there we go. It all comes out in the wash.
Yeah, wrap it up.
James goes 5-4 up in the AI challenge, thanks to the slightly strange human that I spoke to. Good luck to him with his relationship issues. That's all we've got time for in today's episode. A big thanks to the minister. The minister joining the podcast. And then we went on and did that. Let's hope they're not listening. Also, of course, our brilliant production team, Molly Carter and the fantastic David May. We will be back next week with all the latest from the world of AI. And we've got a cracking guest for you. I'll leave it at that. But James, before we go, any departing words?
Well, it wins 43% of the time. Not tonight, though. Stay curious, people.